Welcome back, everyone. This is the Prepared Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Austin, and it is officially, but we are about 3 weeks out from the election. It's a big deal, regardless of if you guys follow politics, if you plan on voting, and I hope you do, regardless of how you vote. That's your that's your right as an American citizen. Some people would say it's your civic duty to participate in it. I hold that as a belief. I do. I think that if you're a citizen here, you pay taxes, your voice is heard. And let's not go down the path of, yeah, well, the last one was rigged, so it doesn't matter. Or, you know, my favorite one is like, you are somehow putting yourself in a greater moral position by not voting because you're not giving power to unjust or, you know, immoral individuals. And in reality, you're actually doing quite the opposite. You are empowering those individuals by not voting, taking part in our governing system, our democratic system, our process, right, is how we make the machine work. I honestly think that part of the reason why we're in the position we're in is because people have taken a big step backwards from it. I know that's not awesome to hear, and it's not. And the sad part is, it's been a deteriorating issue. So we're at like 68%. I think the last election was apparently the largest turnout in the history of voter turnouts, and only 68% of our population or something like that here in the United States actually came out to vote. So it's certainly something that got worse over time and is definitely not going to get better immediately, right? It gets better over time. But the election brings a lot of things forward, certainly a lot of discussion and discourse around the issues, right? So the different topics that each side is leaning on or campaigning on or criticizing the other. I mean, and unfortunately, we have a two-party system here in this country. So in other countries, it may be they're criticizing the other candidates, like plural. There are many other candidates. Here in the U.S., yes, we have the Libertarian Party. We have the Green Party. People can run as independents. All of those things are certainly options. However, we've gotten to a point where it's basically Democrats and Republicans. It's a two-party system. It was never designed to be that way. Our founding fathers, the framers of our nation, they never wanted it to be this. But this is it. And again, it doesn't get better until we start interacting with it. So here we are. And we're going to talk about the election. That's what this episode is going to be. It's going to be a discussion about the election. Not probably in the way you might expect with like, hey, let's talk about the issues, because, you know, we're, like I said, we're all 3 weeks out, maybe 4 weeks out. I didn't really count, but 3-4 weeks out, whatever, less than a month. And at this point, I would be really, really surprised if there are people out there that are planning on voting that don't, they don't have a concrete idea in their mind who they're voting for. Either you're not voting, or you already know and you have known for a while who you're voting for. You almost, and I could be wrong with this, you know, I really, and I hope I am, but I believe that you probably could have quit campaigning 6 months ago. Seriously. I think that you probably could have quit the campaign trail. And actually, Donald Trump would have been safer, since in the last 6 months' time, actually, that's a lie, in the last 90 days, because really it was about this time in July when there was the first attempt on his life. And there have since been, so two attempts. And then this past weekend, apparently there was somebody stopped on the way to the Coachella rally for Donald Trump, who was halted with weapons found in his vehicle, so firearms, and fake passes to the rally. So as somebody who's very pro-2A, I'm like, that's not that big of a deal. But then you add in, like, you're headed towards the presidential rally where, you know, there's already increased security because they've tried to whack him a couple times. And then he also has fake passes to the event. Are you telling me this guy's just that big of a fucking, you know, Trump slappy that he has to be in that rally and he just didn't have the time to offload his firearms? Like, I don't know how you really get out of that one. But so now let's call it 2.5, whatever, attempts on his life in the last 90 days. So, but I digress. We are going to talk about the election. We're going to talk about preparation for the election. John and I are going to sit down. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about what we have done, our concerns, really, because here's the immediate way that I process this is you start with a list of concerns and then you immediately address that through proper preparation. And sometimes sometimes a consistent level of preparation, you know, helps you meet that halfway, so you don't have to start from zero every time, right? Excuse me. But what our concerns are, the preparation and the steps that we've taken, and then what is still yet to be concerned about, because some things you will just never be able to fully address before the fact. You know, the violence in the streets, the mostly peaceful protesting, the things that will, I think, inevitably follow this election, regardless of who wins and who doesn't. We're going to talk about all of that. We're going to talk about how we think is best to approach what we're going to see in about 3 weeks' time. Because it's not actually the election itself. It's the day, or the couple days, I should say, afterwards, where we get into holdout counties and certain individuals in the government who refuse to certify results, right? All the things that can come based off of those actions. And even certainly within 90 days of that election, right, we could be at a heightened sense of turmoil as look at the January 6th, air quotes here, the January 6th incident, right, at the Capitol, where, you know, people were screaming, you know, oh, insurrection and treason this and treason that, and those people are domestic terrorists. And, you know, we've had a lot of details come out since then that pretty much point in the opposite direction. But all of those things happen at the point of election, which was the first week of November, if I'm recalling correctly. And then basically within about 90 to 120 days afterwards, so 3 to 4 months after the election, are pretty interesting times here in this country, at least in modern last couple of years. So John and I are going to get into that. We're going to talk about it. But before I get over to my chat with John, this is a sponsored podcast, you guys. Prepared Mindset is blessed. We're super fortunate to partner with some totally badass companies that just provide some awesome customer service and make some great products. And we want to take a moment here to tell you guys about them. So if you're in the market for some stuff, you can go check them out. Head over to Custom Night Vision to start here. CustomNightVision.com actually is their website. And they have, I mean, a full stock of whatever you're looking for in the night vision realm. So whether that's you're looking for your first device and you have no idea where to start, it's okay. CustomNightVision.com. Check out the website. At the homepage, they have two buttons that you can click. One is to build a binocular, and one's to build a monocular device. And you can select whatever you want. So if you're starting for your very base foundational unit because you don't know how to use night vision and you don't have a ton of money to spend on it, cool. So you can pick a PVS-14 housing, which is the tried and true gold standard of entry-level night vision. It's fantastic. I had one for about a year. Love that thing. Then you can pick whatever optics you want. So whether you want, you know, regular mil-spec optics or, you know, lightweight optics that are going to save you a couple ounces, make for a more enjoyable user experience, or maybe the boom slang that gives you a little bit wider field of view or something, that's totally your choice. And then you can pick what tubes you want. So Photonis, L-bit, L3, whatever, you know, white phosphor, green phosphor, hand-picked blems, whatever fits what you're looking for and your price point, you can build your unit. Or even the same thing, honestly, with the binocular housings, whether it's RNVGs or Manticore housing or DTNVSs or the MH1 from Low Light Innovations, you guys. Again, CustomNightVision.com is the website. You can head on over there and check it out for yourselves. If you have questions, you can reach out on Instagram. They have a YouTube channel where Kevin does all sorts of just ill content to help inform you guys not only on the specs and the science behind night vision, but the general use and applications. I had a great video he just did about taking a night vision course with Will from Orion Training Group. And if you guys still can't get a hold of somebody, they have a chat function that is built into the website. You can reach out, you can talk to Kevin or Trevor or one of the guys over there at Custom Night Vision. They're going to take great, great care of you. They're awesome partners of ours. Again, it's CustomNightVision.com. Head on over to the website for yourself, check it all out, and pick up some night vision today. I'm struggling very much here, guys. I apologize. But I also want to say thank you to 100 Concepts. Their website is 100concepts.com. So if you guys are looking for some solutions to some rather common problems that we all face when we're out in the field, things like reflection and camouflage and breaking up your silhouette, that's where 100 Concepts and their entire catalog of products come in to help you. So whether you're looking for pack scrim, because most of us know that the good packs out there, they either come in weird colors like blue or, you know, brown or whatever, but they don't come in camo. And you want to help break up that silhouette. So that's where their pack scrim comes in. They have great helmet scrim. It's available for a wide variety, shapes, and sizes of lids. So whatever you're running, whether it's an MTech or an Ops Core or a Team Wendy, Helmet Scrim is going to take care of you. And of course, we can't forget their light caps, their scope caps, the hex cap line that they have, and they're always adding to you guys. 100concepts.com. Fantastic group of dudes. Highly, highly recommend checking out the website and picking up some gear for yourself today. Again, it's 100concepts.com. Okay, so thank you to our presenting sponsors for this week's episode and discussion. You guys, like I said, John and I are sitting down. We're getting into election preparation. Honestly, it feels kind of like a third world issue. Like, we never used to have to worry about this, you know. John and I are about the same age, so we kind of grew up in a similar time in the country with a similar perspective on the world and on life that, yeah, the election was something that as children you get excited about because you just knew it was a big deal. I remember we had mock elections in school, and I don't even want to know what mock elections in elementary schools and middle schools and stuff like that. I don't even want to know what those are like today because public schools have, at least from what I have observed, widely just become indoctrination centers for liberal politics. With the exception of a few standout teachers that are probably not very popular among their peers, I kind of imagine that it's usually, I remember the two mock elections that we had that I can actually recall were both when Clinton was in office, and he won by a landslide in our school election just because everyone, oh, Bill Clinton, he's the greatest, whatever, he plays the saxophone. And then Monica Lewinsky happened, and maybe not so popular. But even he is coming out in the media lately and being critical of how the border situation is being handled. And that's just one more piece, right? One more issue that we have to consider and think about when we're making our decisions at the poll. So, like I said, this discussion is not about those issues. This discussion is more around our personal preparation and our concerns for what's going on in the world and what we anticipate really could be a problem that we could, you know, we can realistically as everyday Americans have to face, our families may have to face. So John and I are going to dig into it. We're going to cut it up and hopefully give you guys some insight as to how maybe you can still, with a couple weeks left, right, prepare yourselves, prepare your homes, prepare your families and your loved ones for the uncertainty that is ahead of us. And with that, I am not going to keep talking. I'm just going to get to the part where John and I talk about the topic. Here we go, guys. What's up, man?
How are you doing?
I don't know. It's weird on these like weeknights. Do it like, I don't know. They like work all day and they get like a little break and then get back together and start sitting down and recording. But I think what we're about to get into is still probably one of the more relevant. And not that what we talk about isn't normally relevant. I'm just saying like maybe it's more applicable to average life, given that, well, not everybody, but most people listen to this podcast are U.S. citizens. You're in the continental U.S. So you're like impacted by what's about to happen in the next, I keep saying month because the election's what, the 5th? Is it November 5th?
That sounds right. Or the
So, and I keep saying like the next 3 weeks, but that's just the election. And I was talking about this a little bit when I did the intro. It's not just the election, right? And it's actually not the election itself so much as it is the 3 to 4 months that come after it. So like last time around, we saw actually last two times around, because when Trump got elected in 2016, we saw people running through the streets, putting bricks through windows and shit. And then in 2020, we had all that shit up until the January 6th incident in the Capitol. So like really what we're talking about is not just the election and the 1 or 2 days thereafter when people are certifying or not certifying, but it's like, really, we're actually talking a little bit, I think, maybe more about the 3 to 4 months that come basically from the election to the inauguration is going to be a pretty volatile time. I think volatile is the word for it.
Yeah, I agree. Regardless of which way you feel, one, obviously the opposite side is not going to be happy and be pretty upset. 2020 was kind of very different. That was like a whole year, you know, the summer of love, as they always call it.
We're never going to forget that.
Knock on wood, we haven't had a lot of wars. Yeah, exactly. Knock on wood, we haven't had a ton of that. But it almost seems like instead of like large scale like that, now it's like just assassination attempts is the new hot thing. I don't know.
Yeah, there's been 2.5 of those.
Yeah, right.
And here's the thing, really, is it's not like one big large contingent of individuals or Americans, or I would say citizens, but there's so many illegals in the country now, it's hard to tell which side of that line some of these people, these bad actors fall onto. There's a lot to be going into this, right? I think for logical, law-abiding Americans, I think there's a lot of things that we can honestly look at and say that we're worried about.
Right.
And it's because of the election, not necessarily because, and I'm not talking about like which side we land on with abortions or unions. What I'm talking about is all the weird shit that is going to happen. So we already have up to this point these mostly peaceful protests, right? The Palestine Israel
Yep.
protests, which I've never really understood why that's becoming such a violent, visceral thing here in the US. Like, people are attacking each other over it, and I don't really get it. Like, I understand both. I kind of understand both sides of the argument, but I don't understand why people are getting violent in the US on the other, literally the other side of the globe about it.
Right. It's specifically on college campuses too, is kind of like where you're seeing a lot. I mean, and it's died down a bit. Obviously local to us, we see a lot of protests in like Dearborn area. Those are not violent by any means, but like, yeah, college campuses seem to be like that, like pinnacle of like violence related to that protesting. And
Well, and it's just because it isn't violent now doesn't mean it's not also cause for concern. And I only,
correct.
and it's not to be critical of, you know, people that believe one way or the other on that issue, but
Right.
we've seen time and time again how those protests are, they're just a powder keg. You know, all it takes is a confrontation. Somebody gets pushed down, or police interaction,
Right.
something, right? And especially if, you know, the election goes one way instead of the other, then you get people out there that are out to specifically incite action amongst their peers. And now we have things like protests that are blocking roads, people attacking vehicles, attacking motorists, ripping them out of vehicles. And we saw pictures of all of this stuff 4 years ago. This isn't, it's no longer like a fantasy. You know what I mean? Like, it's not
Right,
like a third
right.
world issue. It's something that we realistically could look at here and say, yeah, that's, I could see
It
that.
literally happened not even 4 years ago. So it's definitely realistic.
Well, and you guys had, and that's what we're dealing with, relatively I would say like low consequence type stuff is protesters when you look at the grand scheme of things. Because on the other side of this, because it is an election and America is tied into so much stuff geopolitically, there's always the possibility of terrorist action within the country. I think that that's like an omnipresent thing that we try to push to the back of our minds. You guys went through Joe's class at HTA, where he kind of laid out many different ideas around things that have happened internationally from a terrorist attack perspective. You know, I think he mentioned Paris
Paris,
in,
yeah, was the big one.
when was that?
I think it was like 2016 or 20.
Yeah, I'd have to look that up. I don't.
Maybe 2015, 2017.
So within the last decade or so, it was a rather large, I won't say insurrection, but a large attack, because I believe it was a concert and a soccer game, and those attacks happened simultaneously. Is that, if I'm remembering that correctly?
Yeah, I mean, he explained it. I wasn't very read up on it. It really took the bulk of it took place at the concert, the theater venue that the concert was at, and they like barricaded themselves in there and were using hostages for cover. And they had like S vests and stuff on, so even when they were taken out, they were able to take out more victims, ultimately more casualties, which is pretty scary. And thinking like something like that happening here, which God forbid, we obviously we don't want that to happen,
Right.
but with the amount, like I just saw in the news the other day, it was like some Afghani national was literally arrested for plotting a terrorist attack. Like,
It still happens.
yeah, like it's like most of the time we don't even hear about it on the news. Like, where it was kind of rare to actually see that on the news. A lot of times it just doesn't make headlines, especially this time of year. Like, usually there's so many other things covering it up. I'm surprised I even saw it.
Oh, like P. Diddy. Yeah.
Yeah, don't Diddy.
Hashtag
Yeah, no Diddy. Mean about that life. That's
no
fucked. Fuck that guy.
Phrasing?
Not literally.
No,
Not
but
literally.
and I don't like we're not bringing this stuff up to like try like I hate the fear-mongering approach to it, but I also think that there's a lot of value in like okay, let's put this in perspective of where we're at in as a world right now. There's a
Yeah.
lot of people that still want to see the West fall. I keep saying the US, but it's the US is understand the US is the largest representation of Western culture.
Correct.
It is musically, culturally, fashion, financial, like even in our degraded state, which we are, we're not the country we were 5, 6 years ago for sure, but we're still the largest representation of Western culture. And because of that, there's a lot of people in this world that would like to see us go away. So those are things when we're talking about what could happen. There are times throughout the American year where we pay more attention because they're more symbolic in nature. So having some kind of attack take place is a larger it's a larger issue. So like July 4th, September 11th, our election every 4 years, right? Like our presidential election, those are big milestone events on the calendar, which would make those attacks and things more impactful.
Right.
And it draws more people out. So that's when we talk about realistic concerns and stuff, like this isn't a without cause thing. I don't think that this is one of those issues where people are building this into something that it's not.
Right. I think it's not bad to talk or discuss or war game these kind of topics. Like, even though we hope they never happen, and the likeliness is they probably won't happen. It doesn't hurt to think that, because if you prepare for these things, whether it's we love all the tactical stuff, guns and ammo, and like, or more so like buying, hey, I'm gonna buy an extra pack of toilet paper from Costco. God forbid there's ever a shortage. Like, but that's real talk. Like,
Again.
a lot of, like, don't get me wrong, stock up on ammo and stuff, but you should also probably have an extra pack of toilet paper. You should probably have some extra food that's not so, as perishable, just different things like that. Not saying you got to go crazy about it. It's not like doomsday prepper, but if we have another shortage again, like we did during COVID, for whatever the reason is, supply chain shortage, it wouldn't hurt to have these things. And so wargaming these kind of topics, I think is beneficial. You're start, having conversations with people, picking other people's minds, maybe opening up your mind and trying to think outside the box, like, oh, I should pick this thing up, or I should do this, or I should talk to this person. Like, well, that's one big thing I can say this year I've tried to do more is talk to like my neighbors and other people and get to know them more. God forbid something happens, there's more of a community than just me being the quiet guy in my street.
Well, right. I mean, there's safety in numbers. That's a base concept, and
Absolutely.
it's proven over time, right? So that doesn't mean that you have to. I think sometimes we corner ourselves or we paint ourselves into the corner of the only community we can be stitched into is the tactical community. You know, guys that
Agreed.
have gear and radios, night vision, and I'm gonna bug out of my house, and you know, we're gonna rendezvous at whatever friend's home. And it's like, yeah, I mean, you could do that or stay home, bug in where you already have a large store of food, medicine, especially if you have, if you have a medical condition or your children do, or your dog does. My dogs don't, thank God, but like, you know what I mean? Like, you have everything you need here. You don't have to worry about
Right.
making all of that mobile and having to prioritize what you're going to take with you and not. So, and I don't, again, this like a lot of this discussion feels like it's going full to one side of things because of how it's presented. Like, I don't know that we're necessarily going to have hordes of people walking down the streets protesting like we did a couple of years ago. Maybe. I don't
Me,
think
it doesn't
so.
look like it this year, but maybe, you never
I
know.
think So if we're talking about things to be prepared for, okay, like there could be some issues with emergency services or with some basic creature comforts. So maybe consider being ready for power outages, because if somebody does something dumb to a power station or something, you could lose power or a cell phone tower goes out. So base things, and this isn't weird at all, honestly. I don't even think it touches the tin foil mark on stuff, is buy some extra food, go out now, hit Costco, hit Sam's Club, right? Batteries. I just bought another pack of, okay, well, I mean, I need 2032s for a lot of other things, but I have extra batteries and stuff if I need them. Go out and get an extra order an extra radio. Yes, this is the time when Baofengs actually get our they get we get the opportunity to shine here with the $20 radios or the $30 radios, because you can buy one of those. They're super stupid easy to use. You can program them in Chirp. If you've done it before, you know it's easy. And that way, if something happens to it, you don't fucking care. Like, mom, dad, take this radio. Here you go. It's already preset and pre-programmed. Just press the button, or your neighbor or neighbors, it's not that big. Or extra food. Like, that's the kind of stuff when we talk about 3 weeks away before things start getting potentially spicy. That's easy. Those are all easy things, and probably some of the most important.
Yeah, and I think probably the most overlooked too for a lot of people. And then once you do it once, the bit other thing is rotating your food or your stock, right? So like I was talking about buying an extra pack of toilet paper, right? So when you deplete your first pack of toilet paper and you now hit you're starting that second one, go buy a pack then, so you're constantly always having one extra. That could like my kids love peanut butter and jelly. They eat it all the time. Typically, we'll keep a whole extra set of peanut butter and jelly in the shelf. So when we finish one, we'll go and buy another one and just keep the rotation going. And a lot of that stuff lasts a super long time. So you can, we could keep it probably over a year easily.
Important question. Is it actually peanut butter and jelly, or is it those uncrustable things?
No. It's actual peanut butter and jelly.
Okay,
We,
good. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
no, no, not
There you go.
Uncrustables. Like,
So those are ridiculously expensive, and it's like half
yeah,
a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for the convenience factor.
yeah, how much was that? If you actually one peanut butter and jelly sandwich is probably like what, like $1 maybe at most.
Not even.
Yeah,
Not
it's probably like
even.
50 cents, like
Yeah.
for how much you pay for peanut butter, jelly, and then bread. So yeah, and then like snacks for our kids, like we buy bigger quantity and keep, and we have a little pantry we put it in. Like that's the big stuff I think. Over this past year we've kind of been trying to do. I mean, during COVID, obviously that happened and we were trying to stay on top of it then, but like we've made a point to like just keep it going, this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's those base things that you may not be able to get to if something should happen. So if you lose power and traffic signals go down, or if there's I know we saw again something that seems like it would never happen here, but something that actually did happen during COVID in places like Minnesota was curfews being put in place. So when it starts to get dark, which here in the Midwest, the northern Midwest, whatever, like it starts to get dark at like 7:30 now. So for a lot of people, they're not getting home from work until 6 or 6:30. It really limits the window you have if you need to go out and do shopping. So yes, having extra food, having extra, I mean, bottled water, batteries, snacks, even gummy bears, whatever. I'm a fiend for gummy bears, but like having that little bit of extra is going to go a long way for you if you should find yourself in the situation where, yeah, I mean, I need that little extra. Or things are of a certain condition where I can't just freely leave my home for a week because
Whatever.
XYZ is happening. Yeah,
Right.
it doesn't all have to be the weird stuff. It can just be
No.
base, essentials.
I would like to make a point. To circle back a little bit. You were
Yeah.
talking about Kamo and Baofengs and buying an extra one. Literally, what was it, like a week or two ago? Verizon was down
Oh, yeah.
completely. I like, and it was like wasn't just Metro Detroit, it was like all over the country, Verizon. And it, like I think earlier this year, I think the same thing happened to AT&T. So you never know the combo side of thing, having the conversations with your loved ones. Like that's one thing. My wife and I were not prepared for that. I didn't have a radio in my truck. Granted, and Baofeng's not going to reach that distance either. But like even having that discussion, like, hey, if the cell phone towers go down, I'm gonna try. Like within an hour, I'm gonna try to be home. Like I work 30 minutes away. Heavy traffic, it gets up to an hour. So like have it like quote unquote a pace plan. Like hey, if we lose communication with each other, this is the plan. What we're gonna do. So that way, like my wife isn't freaking out and then calling 911 trying to get a hold of me. Where I work. So that's kind of another thing. It's more there's the physical side of preparing or just having stuff prepared. But then there's also like having those conversations or the mental side of it or discussions like that, pace
Well,
plans and all that
and we
stuff.
see stuff like that happen. So like you said, Verizon, AT&T had it, I want to say it was like March or April or early in the year. There
Yeah,
was
that
like an
sounds
outage
right.
or something.
Something like that. Yeah.
And in the last 2 weeks, we've had major outages with Bank of America. And I know last week, Comerica Bank, which is big in Texas and Michigan, where they lost everything.
Right.
Banking
Well,
centers, everything.
that whole thing with the Windows thing, I forgot what caused it, but like that whole Windows thing, and it took like you couldn't get gas. Airliners were down, like tons of stuff were down, all
Oh, you talking
because
in
of,
July when they had,
yes. Yeah. Was that what it
yeah,
was?
because that was, what was that called? I can't remember, but yeah, I was talking about, but it was actually on my birthday, was when that whole,
What
yeah, that was,
a
well, I mean,
birthday.
I was on a dude's trip to Northern Michigan.
Oh.
I was getting blitzed the whole time, so it didn't matter. Was it CrowdStrike, I think was the name of
Yeah, that's something like that, yeah.
the company. Yeah, I mean, and that's something to think about is so when you're it, and a lot of these are, I want to say they're terrorist attacks, but they kind of are, they're brute force attacks on certain large businesses. So the financial sector, the airlines, the phone companies, those are the ones people always look to because they, oh, they're making too much money, I don't like it, which I'm not disagreeing, but it's totally irrelevant. They'll do brute force attacks on these companies, ended up just locking down everything purely
Right.
because that's the only way to get rid of it, at least from my limited understanding. So if you are one of these customers where your bank went down for a day or 2 days in the midst of all of this, and when everything goes down, that doesn't just mean, well, I got to go to a different ATM now, or no, like your card processing isn't working, you don't have access to your funds. It's a
Right.
problem with moving to completely digital currency. So maybe
Yes.
having a couple hundred bucks cash, I'm not saying you need a ton, but maybe go get a couple hundred bucks out in, I'd say probably smaller denominations like tens and twenties rather than
Right.
hundreds that people have to break. And then you at least have some kind of cash. You'd run to the gas station, you'd run to the grocery store for stuff. Like it's never a bad idea to have some cash on hand. People, oh, well, I could just leave on PayPal or Apple Pay or whatever and say, well, yeah, I mean, you could.
What if they're
But
affected? You know what I mean?
yeah,
What if their
if those
systems, what
apps
if
go
their
down,
servers are down?
yeah, you're not exactly, accessible with that
Right.
at
So I like even so I typically try to have at least $1,000, not gonna out how much I do or don't have in
that.
cash. But like
Could you just out where it's at though? Like not the
no
amount,
no
but just
no.
where? Oh, all right.
Yeah, my address is 1234. Yeah, so like I try to do somewhere in that ballpark. But like more so like obviously for those reasons it's great, but you never know like when you're gonna need cash. There's random, like my barber only takes cash, so I end up having to get cash all the time. So I would rather just have it on hand instead of having to go and hit an ATM all the time. It's just an inconvenience where I can pull it all out once and just grab from where I need it. And then there's other random things like, hey, my buddy's gonna pick this thing up for me and I'm gonna give him cash and I'll just,
Oh yeah.
pull some money. You know what I mean? Like people don't realize, like, yes, cash seems outdated, but it is still useful. You go to a garage sale, like they're going to want cash. I mean, nowadays they might take Venmo or PayPal or whatever, Cash App, but I mean, realistically, a lot of older folks still want cash. The other thing is other valuables too. So realistically, we probably hopefully won't need it, as long as society doesn't collapse. So like having gold is always good, silver, some of the lesser
That's
metals
getting
too.
that stuff's getting real popular. I know Costco sells like those little squares
The
of gold. That's the bullion or
bullion,
whatever.
yeah, like, and I don't have any of that. I have some silver coins and stuff, which isn't worth much. I want to get a nice size gold one just to have. I mean, it's just, it doesn't go down in value. Worst case, if you never use it, just go and sell it off. Like you can make just by holding it and having it, it's gonna make money over time.
Yeah. And especially in times when our actual cash and digital currency lose value because you're encountering difficulties negotiating them, items like that actually gain like this, like I want to say inflated value, but like they go up in value because it's
Right.
tangible, right? You can have it in hand.
Right.
So it's something to consider. And I know this, a lot of this sounds like end of days planning, but all of this is, I mean, you could take any of this. You could take parts of it,
Right.
all of it, none of it, whatever, but just considerations, because there's a really realistic possibility that we're going to experience some sort of degraded quality of life for probably at least a little bit during this. I have a feeling, and I hope I'm wrong, but I really
Yeah,
do.
right. Like we all hope nothing happens, but like if not now, who's to say in our lifetime we're not going to experience that? Like we went growing up, besides like 9/11, how many big, large, and I'm not saying like obviously there's really bad hurricanes and all these different things that happen, but like how many big events have we had in this country that really affect and stop this country from moving for more than a day?
It's not too many, honestly. I mean,
Yeah, but and I don't want to be a doomer by any means, but like we should be prepared for that. Obviously, I hope that never happens. I don't want my kids to have to live through that, but we should be prepared for that kind of stuff. I'd rather happen while I'm still alive than happen to my kids when I'm gone. I'd rather take that burden than my kids.
well,
So.
that's the whole effort, being just, and that's the value to being this omnipresent idea of just being well prepared in general, is that when stuff like this comes up, you don't have to work nearly as hard as I'll say like average folks do, because you already have a stockpile of bottled
You've
water or,
already.
food, or it's built in or baked into your lifestyle to just have that, like you said, like extra peanut butter and jelly, or extra fruit snacks, or instead of just 1 month or 2 month of medication, you have 3 or 4 months
Right.
of like whatever medication. Like I'm on acid meds that I don't take good care of, making sure I take every day. And then we have get-togethers where I eat a bunch of pizza that I pay for like the next 4 days, which isn't a huge deal. It's actually just it's like a comfort thing. But hey, if I can have extra of that laying around, like okay, it's not that big a deal, but it helps in the
Right.
context we can get it. And the and it applies to that basic stuff. It also applies though to, and maybe even more so, to things like ammo and firearms.
Right.
If we jump back to 2020, within a week or two of the nationwide announcement on lockdowns, which I was like, I want to say it was like Monday, March 16th. It was like right around St. Patty's Day. I think it was like the day, it was around
This
my wife's
sounds
birthday.
right, yeah.
And within 2 weeks, local stores were almost completely out of standard ammunition. No 9mm, no 40, no 45, 5.56, 300 Blackout, 308. Even most of the 6.5 Creedmoor, like just standard ammo, or anything close to standard, was gone. You had like, yeah, 300 Winchester, or wow, 300 Win Mag, right? Like you could get the Primo stuff, the bougie stuff, because no one bought it in bulk. But like, even shotgun ammo, even birdshot was starting to fly off the shelves, and nobody knew when we were getting more.
Yeah, because if you think about it, so like, let's say somebody, you have a rifle, a 5.56 rifle, you got a shotgun, you got like a 9mm pistol, maybe like a 308 rifle. You go in there, you're not the first one. All the 5.56 guns, you're like, fuck, I'm going to go 308. I want a good cartridge. That's all guns. You're like, well, I guess I'm going to go 12 gauge. All they got is birdshot. Well, I guess I'm going to take what they got. You know what I mean? Like at that point, you're going to take what you can get. That is something I've bought a lot more recently this year. Part of it was we were going to HTA and I had to buy a bunch. And then after shooting this past weekend, because I shot a ton of HTA. So like I bought a bunch ahead of time. And then I just got a bunch of 77 grain because I'm going to try to play with it and make sure my rifle likes it. And that's what I'm going to stick with. But I think that's something. Obviously, try to plan and like it kind of hurts to buy a bunch of ammo at once, or sometimes you can just buy a couple boxes every paycheck, whatever works out for you. That is something that I've stepped up and started to keep more because a lot of times I would run through and only have like a couple hundred left, and then I would buy bulk, another bulk purchase of it again.
Yeah, and that's an easy way to do it. And well, I mean, if you buy a little bit at a time, it's a lot easier on the wallet, and you still accomplish the same goal. And you kind of replace, hopefully if you're buying 100 rounds at a time, maybe your range sessions are only 40 or 60 rounds, so you're still doing okay. That's how I did it, or continue to do it for the most part. I don't really do large orders. But and just like we're talking with gold and stuff, like ammo starts turning into currency at some point when people get concerned enough about what may or may not happen realistically. So, I mean, having that is not a bad idea. It's never a
Right.
bad idea to have it, but especially heading into times like this, if you have a little bit of extra money, maybe I'll use the word invest in some alternative currencies, which includes ammo. You know, it is. And then you have enough to feed whatever rifles that you may realistically need. I mean, there's a lot of people like truck guns. A lot of people are starting to transport back and forth to work or to wherever their outings are. Either like AR pistols, which there's weird rules here in Michigan and stuff about all
Yep.
those overall lengths and pistol braces and stuff. A lot of people carrying concealed. You know, I mean, it may not be the worst idea to start upping maybe some of that. Like, I know it's really popular to just carry like a Glock 19 and an extra mag, or even worse, not necessarily worse, but a Glock 19 and a tourniquet. Because, you know, everyone carries with the, not everyone, but a lot of people carry with the sidecar from T-Rex, right? And they came out with that tourniquet attachment for it, and everybody switched to that because you're way more likely to use medical than you are your firearm, which statistically speaking is 100% accurate.
Accurate, yeah.
But my question then is the tourniquet going to do everything you need? That's like that's what I hate about that is like if you really want to be well prepared for medical, like don't switch out your spare mag for a tourniquet. Like carry a blowout kit with you, and like I carry a four person blowout kit in my Jeep. Or you know you got companies like what is there's that med kit that folds up in the size of like your dad's wallet. And I say dads because you know everybody's dad has like a wallet that's like 3 inches.
My dad is guilty of it.
Yeah,
But I don't
so oh
know.
dude, that was mine.
I can't think of the med kit.
It's the one that T-Rex just ripped off.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't
But to
have your mom saying that out loud. It's a blatant copy. I'm okay saying it.
two points I wanted to make. Ammo, like we're talking ammo, even like yes, stocking up ammo is good, especially God forbid something crazy happens. But even depending who gets elected can affect ammo price. I'm surprised the ammo prices have not already skyrocketed. Typically election year they skyrocket this time, depending who we see get elected, or could potentially be both, because you know they just love doing that. We could see prices rise, so if you want to get ahead of it, now's the time to buy and save yourself money in the long run. The other
Not a bad
thing is,
idea.
yeah, right, like it doesn't hurt, like just get ahead of it. SG Ammo, that's who I usually buy through. They constantly are sending out emails talking about how what they have on the sh what they have on their site to sell right now, if they were buying at current prices, it would be $30 more for whatever quantity. And you know they're sending it out there and making it public, but they're like, once this is gone, it's going to be the higher price from now on because that's what I'm paying to buy it now. So they're selling through the stock they got for less. I'm surprised they're a good company. They don't just raise prices to raise it. They just keep their profit margin, which is nice. The other thing is you were talking about like the sidecar and carrying. The tourniquet, great addition is I think it's NeoMag. That's what I carry my additional mag with. It's like that little clip that will hold your
Oh,
magazine
the magnet.
with the magnet. Yeah, that's what I've been running for a couple of years now. I love it. I do want to switch to a sidecar with a tourniquet, but I'm going to keep running that. Addition though, I usually carry one in, one mag in, and then one extra on me. I started carrying an extra mag in my backpack for work. And I also have extra medical. I've always had extra medical in there, but now I'm like, hey, I'm making a point to like have extra ammo. My eyes, if something happens, my whole thing is getting out of there, getting away. I'm not looking to have a fight more than I have to. I want to get the fuck out.
So that's where I start to ask the you know it, the whatever logic goes into the decision around building a truck gun, you know, like, oh, I have to have a carbine, and it's not it, I'm not what I'm not debating the efficacy of the platform, and I will say if you're somebody who has an extended commute, if you're someone who's driving, you know, an hour, and I used to find out or find this to be completely nonsensical when I was growing up, and as I'm getting older, I'm just finding that sometimes just the way it works for folks. If you're driving 60 to 90 minutes each way for work, and it happens, my dad works with people that live down in Toledo, Ohio. They drive almost 90 minutes a day to come into work. It happens, right? then yes, maybe something like that that has a higher ammo capacity, that has more capability than a Glock 19 or Glock 17 or whatever, or God forbid you're still these guys rolling around with a Glock 43, or 42 or something, a little pocket 380. Yeah, a truck gun starts to make more sense. But what I think we you need to, and I'm sure you guys have terms and methodology for this, in the Army or in the service, around just like appropriate mission planning. Because guys are like, oh, I'm gonna keep a plate carrier staged, I'm gonna have a truck gun, I'm gonna have a helmet nods, and it's like you're gonna leave all of that in your car, like night and strange, like at work. No, I'm not bringing hardly any of that. If you're really looking for that, Vertex makes a great sling bag that you can get the ballistic insert for. It's soft armor, so it's not gonna stop a rifle round, but it's at least something. And it
That's
carries
a
additional ammo and med.
That's how I was kind of thinking. Like I'm all about dudes want to carry, have truck guns. You want to have all that stuff, go for it, man. That's your stuff. You just run the issue if you leave it in your car and somebody breaks in, steals it, you're out, and now you gotta make a police report. But the big thing to think about is, all right, I have this truck gun. Are you just leaving your truck, or what happens if you have to leave your car or your
You're
truck
separated from
behind?
your vehicle. Yeah, it's a good
Yeah,
point.
like well, like even if you had it, like let's say, I don't know, you get like shit gets crazy, you crash your car, or there's riots, and like literally you're just gridlocked and you're like, I'm not gonna let myself become a victim of this. I need to get the fuck out. Well, obviously you're not just gonna whip out with a rifle, start running around unless you really need to use it. So what are you gonna put that in? Is do you have a loft folder so you can like have it more compact? Are you doing a takedown build? Are you doing there's so many different variables, but like that's the thing guys need to think of, like absolutely support the truck gun. What happens if you have to leave your truck with that and you're not using that gun that minute? You do not want to be, I don't want to, Kyle Rittenhouse, and I did that's super debatable. What I do don't like about it is running around with a rifle because you're just adding to, I'm not saying he was justified or it, I'm not getting into that. But like the point of
That
running
was.
around with a rifle during chaos incites chaos. Like we see it
Well,
time and time again.
and that, and not to get it twisted here, we're not saying, anybody listening, that the handgun is the right choice or a rifle is the right choice.
Right, like a
There may
handgun,
not
too, same
actually
thing.
be a correct choice. If you're finding yourself in the situation, use either. It's probably pretty fucked. So,
Right,
it is what it is.
same thing. Running around with a handgun also could cause chaos and incite, it could incite violence, regardless of what side you're on. Like,
This is why I still don't understand why people run around here doing open carry in 2024.
yeah, I'm not about
With
it,
all the
but.
technological advances we've had in holster technology, which sounds retarded to have to say out loud, but like we've made it so much more comfortable to carry in multiple positions from multiple size platforms with and without extra magazines. And there's still guys like, oh, I have to carry outside the waistband. Like, why? Oh, it's just not comfortable.
All right, well then you should wear a coat or a hoodie or something, which I we're getting into that time of season where it's easy to do that. Like I do not open carry. I like is another thing. I don't want to say like there was a time in Michigan where if you were 18 and you legally had a pistol, you couldn't purchase it, but you could be given one. The only way you could legally carry is by open carry because you weren't old enough to get your concealed pistol license. I wish we had constitutional carry where that's not a thing. But now you
If
got
we had
to.
gotten a new governor instead of this idiot that's feeding Doritos to TikTokers, instead of running our state.
That,
Sorry.
regardless how you feel about her, that whole thing was inappropriate. Just flat
Super
out.
weird.
Like, if I
Super
did
weird.
that, it would be the same thing. It would be inappropriate. So, don't agree with that whatsoever.
We could do it. We could take a video. You could feed
Nope.
Josh. We could put it up there for the
Or
world to see.
not. I mean, we don't.
Want him to
We.
feed you? Is it?
No. We could just
Oh.
not do it. Like, it's no. I don't even know where I was going. That just that whole thing just I it bugs the bleep out of me.
It's weird. I think feeding people, it reminds me of like the Romans feeding the emperor grapes, or whatever. And I thought that was weird too. I'm like, couldn't he just eat them himself? Like, what? I don't like being fed.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what, and then on top of that, just sexualizing it, like.
Like, even when I'm on road trips with my wife and she's like, oh, here, and she tries to put something in my mouth, I don't enjoy the whole interaction. I'm like, could you just put it in my hand?
No,
I'll just.
usually, like, if I do, like, I fed my wife popcorn once, she bit me on accident. So it's like, yeah, it's just, we're good. Like, I'm
Never
not,
again.
it's not for
Never
me.
again.
Yeah. I hold that over all the time. That was like well over 10 years ago, and I still hold it against her.
People get
I'm trying to think. Okay, I think I hit the last point I wanted to hit.
I don't even know. I know we were talking about the governor and stuff. Well, so yeah, I mean, there's options, and again, it's not that there's a certain right or wrong here, but I think a lot of guys are like, here's my truck gun, and it's like, here's my 11 and a half inch Noveski with RC2, and it's an SBR, and it's like, okay, so you have a two stamp item is your go-to emergency weapon.
Which that's a huge red flag, like not like red flag law, like the
That's an issue.
liability, the liability you're taking on by leaving that in your vehicle when you potentially could step away and somebody could break in, on top of like obviously you losing that, now you just lost two tax stamps plus however much that costs. I don't know if insurance would cover that. I doubt it. Because it was in your car
That's
and you know,
an
I don't
interesting
know if it
question.
I don't know if that does or doesn't cover that. I'm not into insurance. I know they'll cover probably replacing your window or whatever, but that's it.
Well, and then I mean, so here's the thing. Like, there's certain things you could, there's steps you can take to get around some, like, don't carry an SBR, get an AR pistol. I know the braces are, gay, and I know all the internet stuff, like, oh, free men don't ask permission. Like, I get it. But come with me back down to planet Earth, where the rest of us live, and understand that insurance and liability are a thing. The legal system's a thing. So go with an, instead of an SBR, go with an AR pistol. And instead of going with a suppressor, maybe just go like with Josh, just he built one for himself. He got the like a blast forwarding device, like a Surefire Warden, or I forget what he has, the Griffin version, because
Yes,
he
the
goes
great, yeah.
with his muzzle device.
Throwing fireballs out the front,
Yeah, I
but
mean,
it's cool
it's
though.
not going to help your flash reduction, signature reduction, but it is going to push all that noise and concussion out away from you. So where that becomes valuable is if you're shooting in and around a vehicle, down in gravel and stuff, it's going to blow all that shit away from you rather than, up and into your eyes or whatever. Because I mean, assuming you have to deploy that rifle, I'm going to just take a wild guess, and you're probably not going to stop to put on ear pro and eye pro. You're
Right,
probably just going to
exactly.
do what the fuck you have to do, and
Right.
assumingly get the hell out of the way. So
To
there's some stuff you can do with that.
right. It's just to like hit on, because you're talking about the pistol and stuff, and what in Michigan specifically, we can legally carry a pistol AR as long as you have your CPL in Michigan. Which it
As
has
long as
to
it's under 26 inches, though.
under 26 inches. So it gets really hairy. And that's what's weird for us because if you have a full length rifle, like guys love their truck guns. Well, if it's a full length rifle in Michigan, if you have that loaded inaccessible to the driver, like me being the driver and I get pulled over, I can literally like get hemmed up and go to jail for that. Like, not worth it. But if it's an AR pistol because I have my CPL, then I can legally do it. Whether you agree with it or not, like it that I don't want to say it doesn't matter. It does matter, but what it comes down to is how educated is that police officer that pulled you over that I'm going to interact with, regardless if it's completely peaceful or not. Like, that's not something that I want to take the liability I want to take on. Like, I right now I don't have a good build. I have my MCX, which is SBR, and it's suppressed. In Michigan, it's literally considered a pistol because it's under 26 inches in length, but I SBR'd it, so it's considered a short barrel rifle to the federal government, the ATF. Could I do that? Yes. Am I willing to lose all that? Just like you were talking about that Noveski with the Gucci Bill 2 stamp, that's exactly what I got. Unless it's like very highly probable that something is going to happen, then I would do it. But then on top of that, how educated is that police officer, whoever that pulled me over, and I have to explain, this is not a rifle, it's a short barrel rifle, but it's a pistol in Michigan. Like, most people aren't going to understand that, let
Well,
alone.
and the ATF, and they're not going to get the ATF to like come out to them and check on that shit.
No, it's the right.
But if they have a suspicion, who's to say they're not going to try it? They're not going to arrest you anyways and just sort it all out later. And
Right.
then,
And I don't want to lose that. Like I said, it has to be something, hey, something really bad's going to happen where I'm going to go to work and I don't have a choice. I have to be there. Then I might take it, right? But I just don't feel comfortable currently. That's why I'd rather carry my EDC pistol and just have extra ammo or extra supplies for that if need be.
Yeah, I mean, carry the don't the one the word of caution I would give people is don't go changing everything you're doing if it's not something you normally do. Like, what I mean is, if you're going to carry a truck gun, have it be something at least vaguely similar to what you normally shoot.
Right,
Don't,
right.
if you're only shooting a Glock 19 or M&P 2.0 or a 1911, don't go suddenly get a truck gun having never worked a rifle before, and you don't know the legalities behind some of what we just went through, right? And oh, because I fear for what may come to pass, then I'm going to go ahead and start changing everything. No, I would recommend, hey, just carry what you normally carry. Maybe to your point, John, an extra mag or two, and medical, right? But don't change what's been working for you. Just make sure you're good and accountable with it. Now, if you find yourself actually concerned, like, hey, I carry a Glock 43, even with an extension, I'm looking at 8 rounds and I don't feel like that's enough. That's probably indicative of a larger issue, which is you've been carrying the wrong gun, you know?
Yeah, right.
And that's kind of a separate issue. Do I think you need to go out and buy a new one right now? I mean,
If you
you
can afford
can.
it, yeah, why not?
Yeah,
But
why not?
don't just do it
So,
to do it either.
yes, just be capable, being capable with what you have, which includes medical and radio, by the way. It's not just being a good marksman with a firearm, which is all we talk about really, as a community, right? But having some base medical knowledge, having some base radio knowledge. And here's another thing. It's super. You were talking about, you mentioned pace planning with your wife and stuff earlier. How many people do you think that drive any amount of distance to work? So I mean, more than 10 minutes.
Right.
10 minutes,
Me.
right? Yeah. How many people do you think know more than two ways to get home from their office without GPS?
Probably not many, unless it's somewhere close to where they've lived for a long time or grew up or something. Probably not many. Like even me, like where I work now is like very close to where I worked 10 years ago. So I know the place. I didn't forget it. I take it there every day and back. My routes are very limited to get home in a timely manner. One of the main routes that I could take is literally, I think the speed limit is 45 miles an hour, and it would get very congested and very backed up. And also, it was very, very likely to be a route that would get shut down if there was protest or any large scale anything ever. But it is a large major road, and it's not a highway. I would have to probably circumvent and do probably double, if not triple, my route. If my main, like there's three main routes I'm using right now. If one or all those were taken down, and if one of them's down, that means all the other ones are going to get more congested. So you got to think about that
Yeah,
as well.
100%.
It's just having these conversations and like even talking to your coworkers, if they're into this kind of stuff. Obviously, if your coworker, don't go scaring your other coworkers away if they're not, but it also doesn't hurt to like, sprinkle a little something in there to kind of open their mind too. Like, Josh and I work in the same place, so we're lucky we can have these kind of conversations and stuff. But not everybody has that opportunity. So,
No, I couldn't. Well, I mean, I work from home and I
it's a
have a
little
couple.
different.
Yeah, I have a, well, my wife doesn't. And that's a conversation we have to have is, okay, you have to leave to go to your office building. And she's thankfully with her new job, she's not nearly as far as she was. And she's also like, she shoots with us sometimes and stuff, but she's not running and gunning and training and stuff. So for her, and obviously going to work, I say obviously, but okay. So where she works, carrying a firearm on her person is not really an option. And that's all I'm going to disclose on that. However, there are things you can do. Like she also has a matching 4-person blowout kit that she keeps in her car. She's actually, because like all through COVID and stuff, she was in the office. She's used her medical kit like legitimately more times than I have. Like I've never had to use mine. She's done it like at least four
Which is
times over the last
nuts.
5 years. For like not like anything serious, like no gunshot wounds or anything, but like serious bleeding and stuff like that. She's had stuff go on, and people are always like, "Why do you have that?" Like, look at what's happening right now. But for
Yeah,
this,
like why not?
you can all and you know, taking out the firearms from the equation here. Here's a plate carrier. Like, I'm not the world's biggest fan of the AC-1. I don't think it's a badly made carrier. I just think it's limited in its application. However, that or like a Faro Slickster, right, where it's designed to be very, very slick and slim.
Right.
Give that to your wife. Take the placard off. Doesn't got to be all fucking loaded out with shit, but like. Just a straight like plate carrier. Cool. Here, you have this in your vehicle. If you are leaving work and you feel that things are getting weird, you have this. Like,
Right.
put this on. It's not going to save everything, but like, it's an option, and that can be shoved under a seat, that can be put in a duffel bag or something hidden in someplace innocuous and not that big a deal. I think that goes a long way. I think, yeah, if you have some of these bags, you can put like ballistic panels in from like Premier Armor and stuff. Those are great options.
Right.
But you're really just planning to get back to your home, your right. home base, as it were, right? To regroup with your spouse, family, whatever, neighbors, and then be
friends,
able to
make, ones,
a, yeah, make a decision from there. I think the largest concern for so many people is honestly, it's going to be the commute to and from work. And like we're just talking about there, like how many ways do you know how to get home? Like, I know where my wife works and I grew up in the area. So like, if it were me, I mean, we're talking no problem, bro. Like I could figure out probably 12 ways to get out of there. Yeah. They'd probably take a little bit longer, but the point is that you're still able to get where you need to go in a semi-reasonable amount of time. The further away you get from home, the worse that gets, because right. now you're having to understand and know the maps and everything, the layout of an exponentially larger area. Because as you think you get around one obstacle, there's always the potential you run into another closure that pushes you further off course.
Right.
It's a tough proposition.
Well, like one question is, how many people have maps of their state in their car? Like a physical mm-hmm. map. I'm not talking a GPS or anything. I'm talking like, you know, you go.
Do you remember,
to like
the do you remember back in the day? Because we're about the same age.
Yeah.
Remember back in the day when you used to be able to stop at like roadside stop rest stations and stuff, and you used to be able to get maps for free.
So yes, a lot of times now, a lot of states are moving away from it. They'll yep. have like a QR code you can scan for it. But Dirty Civilian is actually who I think it was one of their super early videos. They talked about it. If you go on a lot of state sites to like their tourist stuff, you can request a physical tourist, and it's not a tourist map. It's literally just, you know, it's literally the interstate maps. It's not going to show you like every single road, but it's going to show you all the major highways of that state. I did it for Michigan. You can do up to 2 a year, I think, for free in Michigan. Most of the surrounding states, most of the states across the entire country do it. And I actually did it for like all the states like surrounding Michigan. The only one I think that doesn't was Illinois. Illinois like is like stupid and you can't do it. But Wisconsin,
oh, it's because
Ohio,
Illinois is broke. Illinois
Indiana,
has no money.
Yeah, like in like, so I make a point any state I go to, I still try to go to one of those visitor centers or rest stops and see if they have maps. If they do, I'll usually grab one. Cause hey, you never know. Like I, every now and again, like we'll usually drive down to Florida. So like, I, God forbid GPS goes down, I can bust out a map for whatever state I'm in. And I know how to at least keep going. Also knowing how to read and orient and use a map is important too. That's a perishable skill. And I'm not talking like land navigation. I'm talking just literally using it on like a highway.
Yeah. Just understanding which way you're going on the interstate without being next to the sign that says, you know, 75 north or south.
Right. Like literally knowing that if an interstate ends with a odd number, it's north and south typically. And then if it's an even number, it's east to west. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I didn't know that for years. And then I was like, oh shit, that's kind of crazy. Like, so simple things like that. And then there's even like learning how interstates are broken down, like I-75, which is a huge interstate all the way from Michigan all the way down to Florida. If there's a number in front of it, like 275, which is a local one, that usually means it's an offshoot and then we'll hit I-75. So there's stuff like that. I didn't realize for years there was like some random thing on social media I saw, and I was like, hey, I actually learned something today. It's like learning those little things are like, it sounds stupid, but it's like, hey, if we didn't have GPS, I know that I-275 is going to hit I-75 at some point, and that's where I need to go to get wherever I want.
Well, and you know, put it in perspective, I mean, we, there are people traveled that way for decades and decades with automobiles, right? Before the invention.
When we were kids, right?
Yeah. I mean, GPS, right? Like my dad just knew where we were going. And like, I'm always like scared. Like if I don't have stuff in my maps up on my navigation in my car, cause I'm like, okay, well, if I hit a detour, am I going to know where to go? And we always just figured it out. You know, it was one of those things that, you know, everybody's dad always seems fearless for stuff like that when you're younger, but realistically it's just taking the chance and be willing to fail to some degree. I mean, in this right. instance, being willing to fail on a vacation is literally just taking an extra 20 minutes to figure out where you were at or stop to ask for directions. But when we talk about it here, like, hey, if you can't find your way back home, I mean, if you're a husband, right? That just means that you that I shouldn't say just because it, I don't want to take away from the severity of it. That means you're leaving your wife, potentially your children, if your parents live with you, if you have like a favorite dog, like I do, right? Like they're that means that they're alone like longer than they absolutely have to be. So it's some like and do it now. And again, these are things we're talking about, like things you can do between now and when we expect stupid behavior to begin. These are things you can go out and practice. Like,
Right.
yeah, it's gonna cost some gas, you know. Maybe chart it out on a map, maybe take a look and understand, like, hey, this is the area I'm gonna pace planning, right? So primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency,
Right.
right? So plot four different ways to get home. And maybe as a rule of thumb, like don't have any more than two of them intersect. Like don't just come back to the same highway because then inevitably you found different ways to get back to that main highway. But if that's closed, then
Then
you're
what?
fucked. You
Right.
know, so may find, you know, put two of them that overlap into a main artery and two of them that overlap into a freeway or something, but plan that stuff out now and figure it out for yourself so you understand, you know, or if you're somebody who drives in the building every day, do it now. Start forcing yourself to take a different route home so you're a little more familiar with traffic patterns, what it looks like, and things like that, so you have some kind of idea.
Right. I in the kind of expand and circle around this. So we're talking about like learning these routes and having maps and doing these things. On the other hand, I always, every day I go home to and from work, I use Google Maps and I click work. Not because I don't know the route. It's because Google Maps, what is it, Waves or so, or Waze,
Ways.
and I think the Apple one does it. A lot of these GPS apps will tell you and reroute you based on traffic, whether there's accidents, there's backups, there's construction closures. So I recommend, I personally do it. I use these every day, even though I know the route, because I don't know what construction's going on. I don't look it up every day. Like, I don't give a shit. I'll just, and I hate to like leave it just to that, but it does the work for me, or the backups, or like I said, if there's an accident, like it'll reroute for the quickest way home. So I, if you can use that stuff, why not use it? It just makes you more efficient with your time, and it's the most important resource is time. Like, we can't get it back, so use it.
Well, and part of that too, honestly, is just understanding the areas that you're driving through as well. You know, like, hey, this
Right.
is, I know the area that you guys work in is not exactly the greatest.
No.
And, you know, understanding that areas like that, I guess, is
Yes.
the right, like areas where, you know, there's a higher crime rate and things, they're more likely to be the areas where you have this violent activity that we're all talking about trying to avoid. So maybe you route your course based more off of avoiding that area than just off of the least amount of time to get from point A to point B.
Right.
These are two, and here's the crazy part about this is, and I've done you know, discussions on this in the pod before, is to an extent that's intelligence gathering. You understand, you know, where you're most likely to run into problems. You understand what you're likely to encounter or can expect to encounter, and why either you should go through a certain area or should avoid another one, or maybe even just a time of day when you're less likely to encounter. That's all valuable information. And no one ever talks about intelligence gathering because, I mean, honestly, I think people are scared to talk about it because everyone's going to think you're putting together target packages,
It's,
which could be weird.
yeah, right.
You'd
It's funny you say that because the whole the group chat thing we have going on,
Oh, with
and
Orion. Yeah. We had a guy from our class post up a text, some book, or like
and it
it's a
was,
book on like learning the basics of intelligence gathering. And
yeah.
that was Jared's cautionary comment was like, just don't use it to put together target packages. You'll get hemmed up. It's like,
Yeah, it could be a problem. That is something that I wanted to, not target packages, but like intelligence gathering and like that whole aspect of it, I feel like that could be a huge benefit. And when I saw him post that book, I was like, man, that maybe that's something that I should look
I
into.
actually had that thought too. I wonder if they have an audiobook for you.
So that's what I was thinking. That would be the best for me because on my driving to work, I'm sure they probably do. So I probably will look into doing that. I
Know what's
literally,
cool?
that's the thought I had.
You don't even need it. You could just listen to episodes of this podcast on your way into work. You don't even have to listen to anything else. That's the crazy
Yeah,
part.
you know, no big deal. That's it.
Yeah. Everybody listening, you can just unsubscribe to everything else. Just that this is all you need.
Yeah, there's
And
plenty of episodes to catch up on, unless you started way back when from
yeah.
when you started. But
Shameless plug. If you guys aren't subscribed and following, please do.
Hey, and the Patreon has extra content, so if you run out, hit up the Patreon.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, like, yeah, intelligence gathering, if people think about it from a military perspective just because of the word intelligence, but I mean, in reality, it just comes down to like pre-planning and actually having like good contingency. It's like it's the information that you use to build your pace plan in simplest terms. Like, you don't have to make it fancy, it doesn't have to be super glamorous with, you
It
know,
doesn't have to be tactical. Like, it can,
poorly lit
yeah.
planning rooms and lots of cigarette smoke. Like, it could just be, you know. Or I'd like to get like a long like mahogany table we could all sit at, like a team room or something. Like, that'd be like, we could do that. That'd be sick. We could do
Yeah.
intelligence briefs on, you know, where to get Twinkies and stuff
Yeah,
because the grocery stores are out.
your TV and like plug in somebody's laptop with the PowerPoint, like showing.
If we had a, we could get a guy in the chair. We got to have a tech person to do all that shit. It's not gonna be me,
I know
but
a guy, but
yeah, we got a couple of guys. We could probably do it.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. So I mean, like, this is, and I mean, we're joking about it, you know, and honestly, I hope none of this actually comes to pass, but I think there's like some real concern. I think one of the saving graces is the fact that it's gonna get fucking cold up here in the next couple of months, so like people are less likely to be outside doing dumb shit. Whereas during the
Right.
summer, nobody had a reason to be inside.
Right.
So hopefully this, like, I think puts it into perspective at least a little bit. Like, there's some very base fundamental things that we can do, and things to be concerned with, but I don't know that we necessarily need to go over the top with it. But we always, I think, as a rule of thumb, you plan for worse than what you expect to actually happen. And that way you're either right or pleasantly surprised. I know it's like a very
Right.
pessimistic way of looking at the world, but you know, there's also some real logic to it when you start to put it, you put it out there and think about it.
Yeah, I would much rather would put in the thought now and at least have a plan or somewhat of a plan, something to work with versus getting caught with my pants down and trying to figure it all out as I go. I
Oh,
agree.
that's
Like,
the worst. That's like when you don't have anything, when you don't have anything put together or set aside for like power outages, and you go for like 2 days without power, and it's the most miserable shit ever. And then you're like, next time I'm definitely getting a generator, and I'm getting like guys, go to fucking Harbor Freight, okay? Like, those LED lanterns they have are like $5, and they're outstanding for power outages. Go to Costco, get AAAs and AAs, so all of your little shit around the house that you need, you know, your little around the neck air conditioning unit or your lanterns, flashlights, whatever. Go with your batteries, just basic
candles,
stuff.
get candles. Like, obviously, there's the fire hazard if you got little kids. Like, for me, it's not the best, but still, like, just having a candle, you know, just a little thing. And I'm not talking about like scented candles. I'm talking about like something that has a long burn time that'll, you know, if you need an emergency situation, at least you have some form of light. Because what if all your batteries, you know, you expend all your batteries?
Yeah.
I don't want to be trying to scrounge up candles using little, you know, those little tea candles that last like, you know, 30 minutes or whatever. You know what I'm talking
Little
about?
ambiance ones that you
Yeah.
get at restaurants. Now they have little battery powered tea light
They do.
candles,
Yeah.
and we have some in our living room that look like candlesticks, and they take two AAAs a piece. That's why when we went to Costco last, I grabbed 2032s because there's like a 12 pack for like less than $12. It's actually a really good deal.
Damn.
And
Costco's got great prices on batteries. Double
they
A's,
do.
triple A's. Like,
Yeah. And you can get the Kirkland brand too, which I'm not convinced is as good.
I get Duracell from there because you get such big quantity. It's so cheap compared to everywhere else. Like,
I do with some things. If it's double A's or triple A's, if it's for gear stuff, I'll get Duracell. If it's around the house shit, like remotes and my wife's goofy candles and shit, yeah, we can get the Kirkland brand. I'm okay with that.
I
I'll
agree.
save myself the
You can
$4.
also do the Amazon batteries that they don't last as long from what I, at least in my experience, but like you said, for candles or remotes, who gives a shit? Like,
Yeah. And it goes a long way with some of that stuff, like those candles, like that little bit of extra light that you'll have when the power goes out because they run off their own independent source. Like, cool. Now you can see around. You're not tripping over shit, you know, like it's
yeah.
annoying. So it's all little stuff, guys. I think we touched on a lot of it, and a lot of it's just fundamental things. Like, I don't know, a lot of it can be solved with be more like your father 20 years ago, and know how to, you know, drive to work 8 different ways, and then just buy a couple extra of this, that, and the other thing while you're going to the store. A lot of that stuff's going to take care of itself if you follow some of those basic rules. Don't just wait till you're completely out to to start addressing some of those. And yeah, I mean, if we're talking about a self-defense situation, I mean, I pray to God you're you don't, but we talk about all that stuff an awful lot. We don't need to like beat that horse, but like this is why I carry a flashlight with me. Even when I leave the house during the day and I'm only expecting to be gone for an hour or two, I carry a flashlight and I have a spare in the car and medical and jumper cables and all this other shit. Like
Right.
there's a reason behind all of it. And if you waited until like now you're looking at a whole bunch of money and running all over town trying to buy a bunch of shit that everybody else is also trying to buy.
Right.
It's a bad
Agreed.
situation.
Pace plan. I'd say the biggest takeaway, if you don't know what a pace plan is or have one,
Google.
or you have you yeah, Google pace plans. Literally, you can use Gemini, Google AI, and like have it help you write up a pace plan. Like Gemini is crazy what you can do. Some stuff it stops you from doing, I think it'll probably let you help you with a pace plan.
I don't know if that's safe, man. I'm waiting for it to become self-aware and act like Skynet.
I just had a huge long conversation with a buddy who works in machine learning and like that whole realm, and
Yeah.
he like broke it down. He's like, it's not as smart as we think it is.
That's what they said in the movie.
Yeah, like could it get there? Yes. Is it there now? No.
Yeah, so nothing to worry about now, but in 5 years, like hold on to your butts because
You never know.
you get really.
He was saying there needs to be some big advancements in it to get it to the next level, because right now, like the model they're using, all they're doing is trying to make little breakthroughs in that same model. They need like a breakthrough to a new model to take it to the next level. But who knows? I'm just reiterating what he said.
I
He
just feel
knows
like we're like
a lot
one
more about
breakthrough away from Jurassic Park or Terminator
it.
or any of those Michael Crichton type,
I feel like
situations.
if somebody had enough money, we could definitely have brought back dinosaurs by now. I mean, dude, they were cloning sheep and stuff. Like,
Yeah, until they outlawed it. They banned
yeah, right.
cloning.
In
That Dolly the sheep, yeah.
the US it is. Who's I don't think it's legal in China.
Well, nothing's illegal in China. I mean, come on. The
I mean,
economy stood up on intellectual property theft, for God's sake. Like,
yeah.
come
Well,
on.
look at their military might. How much of it is copied off of US,
Most of it. That's why I just wonder, like, if you have an entire military built off of just as good, is it really just as good as the US military?
Probably not, in my
I
opinion, but
don't know.
hopefully we
That's
never have to find out.
yeah, hopefully not. But that's that. I mean, that's here nor there, right? So hopefully this stuff though that we are talking about helps you guys out. And honestly, my real hope is that in 2 months' time, 3 months' time, it's a non-issue and things are heading down the road to healing for the country, and the economy's headed to where it was 4 years ago, and things are hunky-dory. But that's not really how we've all found our success, right? It's usually through personal preparation and accountability. So if this is a wake-up call for you guys, I'm glad that you at least have some time. It's not a completely lost cause. Just start committing your resources now. Take out a couple, don't go out to eat this week or this, pay period. Spend that money on some other things to make sure if you're actually really concerned, you have what you need. But yeah, hopefully this is all helpful for you guys, and hopefully you got some really good stuff out of it. But really, guys, we're not trying to just make everybody or tell everyone that they should be afraid, that there's a ton of stuff to worry about, that the end is nigh, the sky is falling. But this is a podcast that is obviously it's built around preparedness and individual accountability and awareness to what's going on. And I think we would probably all or most of us would agree we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about this and didn't discuss, maybe some of the more common sense steps like we did here on what is going to make this process, this time period in our lives a little bit easier. And here's the thing, and we tried to reference this as we were going through the discussion, right? Was make this a part of your way of life. Build this into your daily processes, your weekly processes. So you guys go grocery shopping every week or every other week when you go to Costco or something, pick up some batteries, pick up some food that you can store long term and things like that. It doesn't have to be an all at once where a lot of people think they're going to go, I need to drop 7 grand out of my savings account to pay for all of this to put myself in a position where I feel comfortable. And if that's what you end up spending in total, that's fine. But 7 grand across 12 months versus 7 grand across 12 days, that shit hits a little different, you know what I'm saying? So what we're trying to share here is just some thoughts, some concerns, some feelings around what could realistically be some things that we anticipate having to deal with, how to deal with them, and also just like some good general practices. It's always weird to me in regular life when you come across folks and they're just super surprised that you have basic supplies and basic tools with you. I mean, even small things like a pack of zip ties and a like a Leatherman, like a pocket tool and a flashlight. And those are basic things that, you know, I carry around that in my bag when I was teaching high school marching band. I could fix stuff on the fly for kids with zip ties or tape, you know, just basic stuff that you carry with you, because through the years you pick these things up and you don't count on somebody else having them. You have them yourself so that you don't have to worry about somebody else having them. And that basic principle here is what we're applying just to a different context in a much larger scale, right? So maybe nothing happens. I certainly hope nothing happens, but we want to talk about some of the things that, you know, some of us in our group are concerned about. And I think it's well-founded. And I think, you know, we got into several things, and just to reiterate, like, I don't think having something like a truck gun's a bad idea. I think it's a great idea if you have the means and, more importantly, the training and capability to use that effectively. The only reason that I'm a little bit opposed to it is it becomes a very romanticized idea, and I think guys get carried away with the internet drip for it and not really the practical application of that platform, which is why I made a post on Instagram just the other day talking about, you know, hey, it doesn't need to be the fanciest, flashiest, most expensive thing. It needs to be reliable, and it needs to have your base functionalities. Like, I'm sorry, your truck gun probably doesn't need an IR laser, and neither does your bedstand gun, because you're probably not getting night vision out to go clear your house, and you're probably not carrying night vision in your truck with you. So realistically, it needs a white light and it needs a reliable optic. And then past that, I would go with mil-spec, because, you know, hey, you want reliability, and mil-spec is built to function in good and bad circumstances. So just don't buy like total crap and you're okay, right? And then past that, hey, if you're more proficient with a handgun, fine. That's what you got. That's what you can roll with. You can be very capable with that as long as you understand your limitations. So, you know, and we got in all the other stuff. Pace planning is a huge part of this. I'm so happy we got into pace planning. We mentioned the word intelligence, which, you know, ruffles some people's feathers in the wrong ways. And that always makes me extra happy, because, you know, why not? But I do sincerely hope that what John and I were talking about here is helpful, you know, for you guys, because, yeah, I mean, it would be one thing if we hadn't all just lived through this a handful of years ago, the last time we went through one of these elections, which I'll never forget for a variety of reasons, honestly, because I watched the election that night, got in bed because I started feeling like crap. Turns out I'd gotten COVID. This is like pre-vaccine, not that those things work, but pre-vaccine, you know, election night, and it was like a sign from above that bad times were ahead because of how bad I felt. And I'll never forget it because I was working from home, and then I had to spend the next like 2 weeks while I was really sick, working a 1-800 number for my old job. And it was totally miserable. I'll never forget it. But at any rate, we have seen this stuff. We have lived through this stuff. More importantly, we have survived this stuff. We can do it again, but there are better ways, and we just want to make sure that we give ourselves the best opportunity to do that again. So thank you guys so much for hanging out and listening. Hopefully you pulled some good stuff out of this discussion. We'll be back next week with more, honestly, and probably going to continue to ramp things up as we get closer to the election and as things continue to develop. As always, we want to make sure we bring in you guys, you know, important information and important topics and guests that are going to, you know, be of value to you guys. And I know the next couple weeks here, we got a couple bangers that I'm really, really excited about. So stay tuned for all that. But until then, until our next time, you guys, stay safe out there. And like we always say, work hard, train smarter, be prepared.